Do you all send out cards? Do you get these really wonderful cards that tell the true and real story of Christmas? You know, things like this. The real story of Christmas. I'm wondering if Jesus ever built one of them because it was Christmas. I'm wondering if Jesus ever thought about Santa Claus. The real meaning of Christmas. And the reindeers. Can anyone name all the reindeers? I'm not going to ask you to, I just want a show of hands. Good. Oh, there are a few. Well done, I couldn't. Or this. Oh, the 2.4 children around an open fire with a huge Christmas tree. Wonderful. Is it really? Superb. Or are you the super spiritual ones that think of this when you think of Christmas? Oh, and it's sweet. If that's what you think about when you think of Christmas, that's okay. As long as you don't leave Jesus in the manger. He didn't come to be a cute little baby in a manger with a little robin and a donkey next to him. He came to do so much more. The flesh became light. If you're following along in your Bible, I'm taking two passages out of John for this. The first one is John 8:12, which is a very famous statement from Jesus that we're probably all aware. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. A few verses before, he said these words. On the last and great day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has says, rivers of living water will flow within them." Jesus claims to be the light of the world, and in him, rivers of living water will flow. These are enormous claims. I always think it's worth looking back at the setting of where and why he said these things. It says on the second part, at the end of the great festival. This was the Festival of Tabernacles, one of the three major festivals that happen in the calendar, in their calendar, the Jewish calendar. This was be held in the temple. There's the massive outer court where the Gentiles can attend. Inside that, there's still a very large court called the Court of Women or the Court of the Treasury, where they were meeting. This would have been at a time where the numbers in Jerusalem would have swelled to probably four times its normal number. So this would have been like Oxford Street on Christmas Eve. This would have been packed. There would have been hundreds and hundreds of people. This festival is a really fun and joyful time. They'd have been singing, they'd have been praising. They're thinking about when Jesus was their guide, when they were going through the wilderness for 40 years. There was a pillar of fire. There are several traditions that they follow within this festival. But two of the main festivals is the Festival of Water, where they think about Moses and opening up the stone and the water that came out while they were in the desert. And also the pillar of fire. And you can see in John that Jesus is drawing real and obvious parallels to what was happening, what they're worshipping God for. And he's saying that this is me. The water is me. With me, you will have living water. And I am the light. When I say light, I don't mean little tea candles. They have these enormous candelabras. They reckon 75 feet. Huge candelabras dotted around. Some of the non-biblical writings say that Jerusalem looked like a diamond when you saw it from afar because it glowed so amazingly. This was a very important time, and Jesus was saying that he is the light and the living water. So when we think about Christmas and you think about the snowmen and the trees and Santa, this is what Jesus came for, the light of the world. Light is needed only when there's darkness. Jesus was saying he was the light of the world, not a light of the world, not one of the many, the light of the entire world. This implies not only is he bigger than just one man, but that the world is in darkness, because light is only needed when there's darkness. He goes on to say that whoever believes in me. Remember, this festival is all focusing on Almighty God. And Jesus is saying, whoever believes in me, a man, will have this light. He would have been talking with a lot of people, a lot of normal people, but there would have been a collection of Pharisees around him. And we hear later on that there was. Because the Pharisees were always out to trap him. And with the Pharisees there, the people that knew the scriptures so well, he was saying, whoever follows me. I don't know how he got past the next bit, because they didn't stone him. Because at this point, he was, as far as they were concerned, he was blasphemous. He says to his disciples that we should follow him. But that doesn't mean like a sheep follows a shepherd, behind, always in the footsteps of. In Ephesians 5:1 and 1 Corinthians 11:1, we have more of this following. But it's more be imitators of, to follow what I do, the actions that I do. We're called to follow what Jesus did. That's scary. Whoever follows him will not walk in light, walk in darkness anymore. Whoever feels that they walk in darkness sometimes, where they have days of absolute darkness. Has anyone been to Chislehurst Caves? You have. Did you go to the one where they took all your lights away and walked away? It's terrifying. It's incredible. You get told that this is what total darkness is. And the guy that I was with actually said, put your finger in your eye and see if you can see it before you blink. And I didn't. I poked my finger in my eye. What an idiot. Why would anyone do that? But I did, because I was told to. Total darkness. When the light goes out at home, you think it's dark. That's not darkness. That's not even close. Total darkness is the absence of Jesus. The absence of God leaves total darkness. If you have a dark room and you light it with one light, no matter how much darkness you throw at that room, no matter how much darkness you try to squeeze into that room, the light will always win. Jesus is the light of the world. The final part of this verse says that if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. For many people, especially the younger ones, Christmas is about presents, is about receiving stuff. For us older and mature Christians, Christmas is most definitely about receiving stuff. It's about receiving eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world that brings life to us all. Let us never leave Jesus in a manger, because that's not what he came for. He came to save a lost and broken and damaged and dark and dismal world. You don't have to go very far to see that world. You just turn on the telly and you see all the rubbish that's happening around us and you think, my God, where are you in this? Jesus is the light of the world. And in him, everything holds together. Let's pray. Lord God, we've been singing songs of your amazing love and your amazing grace. That you will give us robes that we don't deserve. That we will have an eternal life with you. And that all started on that first Christmas when you came down to earth as fully, fully God, but also fully man. Where you came as the present of Christmas. A present that was not meant to be unwrapped, but it was meant to be followed. It was meant to come to an awful death. But by your love and by your grace, your amazing present of your Son was meant to be risen from the dead so that we might have life. And we might have life to the fullness. This Christmas, let us not think of snowmen and Santa. Let us think of the journey that you suffered for us. The fact that we are worthy to be called sons and daughters of the Most High God, regardless of how we feel about ourselves, because you've made us worthy. And in purity, we come to you because of your blood that has paid for our sins. Help us never forget the true meaning of Christmas. The flesh became light for us. Amen.
It's all about you, Lord God. To you, the Most High God. Thank you for this wonderful festival, wonderful time where we can remember you. We can remember everything that you've given us in your life, but more, everything that you've given us through your death and resurrection. Service has ended. Please feel free to join us in Refresh for teas and coffees. It will be wonderful to have fellowship.
Just before we go, I heard two things. First one is a happy birthday. I said we were only practicing, Kathy. This is the real one. Yeah.
She just